night and mobilize and start marching and speaking out and protesting and going to prison for nonviolent actions that will really be needed to turn to stop Planned Columbia.
From the studios of Freak Radio 96.3 FM in Santa Cruz, California, it's time for the Weekly Freak Show. Headlines and highlights for the week ending Thursday, February 8th, 2001. My name's the V-Man, and I'll be your host for this half-hour look back at the news and features not heard in or glanced over by the corporate-controlled media. On this week's program, we'll hear from Father Roy Bourgeois, founder of School of the Americas Watch, who will be speaking on his recent visit to Colombia and the effects of a $1.3 billion aid package on the indigenous population there. Plus, this week's Spotlight Sound. Stand by for the Weekly Freak Show, coming up next. And now headlines for the week ending Thursday, February 8th, 2001. On Friday, February 2nd, the United States Attorney's Office filed charges against Santa Cruz residents Matt White and Petey Schnell for allegedly having possessed materials which could be made into destructive devices. The two were arrested in the early morning hours of January 23rd behind the Capitola, California Police Department. An officer approached White and Schnell as they sat in their van, and a search turned up 11-gallon jugs, a gas can, and birthday candles. A review of the evidence photos presented at Friday's hearings includes a Tropical Source chocolate bar wrapper, a flyer to an event on the prison industrial complex, and a map of downtown Santa Cruz. The U.S. Attorney's Office has requested that the two men be held without bail. The two face a maximum 10-year prison sentence and $10,000 fine. Ecuadorian President Gustavo Noboa imposed a state of emergency there, withdrawing all constitutional rights on Saturday, February 3rd, in response to recent demonstrations. Indigenous people, fed up with neoliberalism, have demanded an end to the violence and a repeal of economic policies which have brought the country to the brink of destruction. The economic policies include, among other things, the construction of a new oil pipeline, privatization of the water supply, an increase in taxes, and an increase in the bus fares. Hundreds went on hunger strike, highways were blocked by mass actions, and a university was occupied. 10,000 indigenous people marched from the countryside to the capital of Quito. By Monday, tensions increased and a confrontation between soldiers and demonstrators left 4 dead, including a child, and 23 injured by bullets in the village of Tina. Demonstrators burned down the control tower at the airport there. 6 more were injured in Quito when a group of police attempted to evict the 5,000 people who occupied the university. On Wednesday, however, indigenous protesters were heading back to their communities in triumph after securing a hard-fought deal in which the government caved in on a number of tough economic measures, including the reduction of gas prices, the freezing of fuel prices for 1 year, and the resolution of various land and water conflicts. Ecuadorian President Gustavo Noboa and the Indian leaders signed a 23-point agreement during a 90-minute meeting at the presidential palace, ending nearly 10 days of protests. A prestigious panel of scientists working under the auspices of the Royal Society of Canada released a 245-page report on Monday, February 5th, which found that genetically engineered foods aren't necessarily safe. Roughly 60% of foods sold in supermarkets contain GE ingredients, usually corn, soy, or canola. The biotech industry claimed these foods are as safe as any conventional crops. The study, prepared at the request of the Canadian government, found that research into GE foods is based on inadequate data. It recommends that regulators actually investigate whether GE crops are harmful to either human health or the environment instead of just assuming they are not. Currently, if Canada's regulators deem that a genetically altered variant of a crop is similar in look, taste, appearance, and nutritional value to an unaltered crop, they approve it with little testing. The Royal Society panel calls on Canada's regulators to err on the side of caution when approving new GE products. The report claims that the Canadian Food Inspection Agency is so secretive that not even the Royal Society scientists could see the information it uses to evaluate GE products. In the sole case the panel was able to examine, Ottawa's evaluation of Monsanto Corporation's Roundup Ready canola, the Royal Society scientists found the data the government used was, quote, scientifically inadequate for either a rational regulatory process or a peer-reviewed scientific publication. Around 1,500 Yugoslavians of various political beliefs protested in the center of Belgrade, pelting the U.S. embassy there with eggs and burning an effigy of Javier Solano. Solano, who was visiting Belgrade on Wednesday, February 7th, was head of the North Atlantic Treaty Organization during NATO's 78-day bombing campaign in 1999. He was one of 14 Western leaders, including former U.S. President Bill Clinton, French President Jacques Chirac, and British Prime Minister Tony Blair, convicted of mass murder in absentia by a Belgrade court last September and sentenced to 20 years in jail. Some 100 people protested again in Belgrade Thursday, chanting anti-NATO slogans such as Solano, murderer of the innocent, and NATO fascists. Solano ignored the protests, stating he was, quote, moved by his visit to a country he loves. One organizer of the anti-NATO protests in Belgrade was detained briefly by police. Elsewhere in the region, ethnic Albanian rebels, fighting intensely with Serbian security forces along the southern boundary with Kosovo, rejected a peace plan proposed Thursday by Belgrade. The plan would have allowed for Albanians to play a larger role in political life, but fell short of complete autonomy and was also dismissed by the Unified Albanian Democratic Party. And finally, all charges against Jeremy Lee Parkin of Riverton, Utah, were dropped at a pretrial hearing on Wednesday, February 7th. Parkin was arrested at his home on November 24, 2000, by a swarm of FBI agents and local law enforcement officials. Police charged Parkin with 5 felony counts relating to a fur protest at the Beckstead Mink Ranch on November 13th of 1999. During a protest by the Coalition to Abolish the Fur Trade, 41 animals were allegedly liberated by unknown activists, and breeding records for the animals were destroyed. Parkin's bail was set at $100,000, and bond could not be paid until a reduction hearing almost 2 weeks later. After spending 14 days on a hunger strike and losing over 15 pounds, Parkin was bailed out by his parents. The Collective for Activist Defense had been working to publicize the case from the time of Parkin's arrest, and support quickly poured in from all around the globe. Animal rights activists have declared this case a victory both for the animals and for their fellow activists. And those were headlines for the week ending Thursday, February 8th, 2001. On January 17th, the School of the Americas was reopened under the name Western Hemisphere Institute for Security Cooperation. During its 54-year history, the SOA has trained over 60,000 Latin American troops in combat skills. SOA-trained troops have used these skills to wage war against their own people with disastrous results. The school's graduates continue to appear on lists of current human rights abusers all across Latin America. On July 13, 2000, former President Bill Clinton signed Public Law 106-246, also known as Plan Colombia, a $1.3 billion aid package making Colombia the third largest recipient of U.S. military aid in the world. Father Roy Bourgeois founded the School of the Americas Watch in 1990. He recently returned from a trip to the troubled region of Colombia. I spoke with Father Roy. Here he describes the work of SOA Watch and provides a link between the training at the SOA and the situation in Colombia.
There is a large movement called the SOA Watch movement that began years ago, some 10 years ago, with 10 people. And this last November, 10,000 gathered at the main gate of Fort Benning to call for this school's closure. Over the years, we have documented hundreds of, over actually 500 of these soldiers, graduates of the School of the Americas, a military school that trains soldiers from Latin America every year in combat skills, all paid for by the U.S. taxpayers. And hundreds of these soldiers have returned to their home countries and they've killed, they have tortured, they have raped, they have disappeared countless numbers of the poor and those who work with the poor, church leaders, labor leaders, human rights advocates, university leaders. And we have been calling for the school's closure every year. And as the movement grew, there was intense pressure put on the Pentagon to do something. And what they have done, Vinny, is they have changed the name of the School of the Americas, as you mentioned, to a new name. But we see this as really a new name but the same shame. It's cosmetic. It's like taking a bottle of poison and calling it penicillin. It's still very deadly, and this school is still very deadly. It still is about combat skills. It's still about men with guns. Most of the soldiers being trained at this school are from Colombia, the new hot spot in Latin America, as many of our listeners know. And I can only say that I just returned from Washington, D.C., where about 100 leaders from around the country, leaders in the movement to close the school, gathered. And I'm happy to say that the movement is in good shape. It's strong. It's growing with thousands of college students coming on board and people of faith from all different traditions, veterans, and we now have a bill from Representative Joseph Moakley. He will continue to lead the charge in Congress to call for the closing of this new name school. And we'll have a bill number probably in March. But the good news is that no one in the movement has been fooled by this new name school. So for us, we're going to keep our hands on the plow. We're going to keep moving ahead. I have to say that Columbia will be getting a lot of attention this coming year with Plan Columbia, that $1.3 billion being pumped into Columbia is the first installment. And that situation, as you know, is a very serious one.
They're gonna start a war, start a war, start a war, start a war. Down in Columbia, 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 they're gonna start a war. Down in South America, it's Vietnam, it's Vietnam, but now it's not, but now it's not a Kong, it's Carlos, it's Carlos, they're gonna start a war, they're gonna start a war, down in Colombia. Try to take over all the dreams, all the monkeys, and all the water, and all the oil, it's all about oil, nothing to do with cocaine. They're gonna start a war.
Mobilize the peace troops. Mobilize the life force. Get on the net. Get on the phone.
Get off of your head. They're gonna start a war.
I know you can remember you of this present race,
but watch the killing fields, watch the poison pills, and watch how we killed our young. They're gonna start a war. And you'll you'll be drafted. They'll ask you to serve. They'll twist you inside you. This oil machine, they're gonna start a war.
From the studios of Freak Radio 96.3 FM in Santa Cruz, California, you're listening to the Weekly Freak Show. Please stay tuned for contact information at the end of this half-hour broadcast. You just heard this week's spotlight sound. The song is called War in Colombia, and it's by the band St. Michael, available for download off the web at www.mp3.com. Plan Colombia really has a twofold strategy: to stop a popular people's movement led by the Revolutionary Armed Forces of Colombia, or FARC, and the National Liberation Army, or ELN, and to halt coca production. Here, Father Roy speaks of the true motives for the so-called aid package to Colombia.
Plan Colombia was really brought to Colombia by our drug czar, Barry McCaffrey, and said, you are to implement this. This is the way it's going to be. Now, of course, a big chunk of that is going into the military to fight the, you know, counterinsurgency problems there. Now, they're going to get a lot of helicopters, a lot of armaments, and, of course, the military will you know, benefit. We talked to the U.S. Ambassador, Ann Patterson, who supports it, of course, who's a cheerleader for Plan Colombia. We talked with the Vice President. We talked with the Chief of Staff, the highest-ranking military guy there. They all support it. However, when we went into Putumayo, the province where Plan Colombia is being implemented, where the spray and the fumigation has begun, we get a whole different story. We met with indigenous leaders, the campesino leaders, the landless farmers there. And I have to say that they are very upset. They're very angry. They're also very scared. While they have begun spraying their crops with this glyphosate, produced a strong chemical similar to Roundup produced by Monsanto, while it's killing the cocoa leaves, it's also killing their crops. Went into the countryside and met personally with the campesino leaders and others and saw their banana crops destroyed. This one 73-year-old landless farmer we talked with there documented all of this along with others. You know, 11 of his 12 chickens died. We received a long list, all documented, of the names of the campesinos, where they're located in that province, and what has happened to them, what crops that have been, destroyed, the fish in their pond that's been killed, their animals. Also, they're very concerned about respiratory problems among their children, the skin rashes. And the big thing here, Vinny, is they were never consulted, the campesino leaders, the indigenous leaders. It was imposed upon them. Once again, we had the United States coming into Latin America with its big tentacle, you know, reaching out there and said, basically, this is the way it's going to be. And I must say, while Plan Colombia, supported by, we felt, you know, supported by the military there and our U.S. ambassador and some high government officials, when it comes down to the vast majority of the people on the street we spoke with in Bogota, and especially among the majority of the people in the outlying areas in Putumayo, they are really upset with Plan Colombia.
Right-wing paramilitary groups like the United Self-Defense Forces, or AUC, routinely attack the civilian population in an effort to terrorize the people into not supporting the popular mass movements. One such attack took place on January 17th when 25 civilians were slaughtered with machetes. We now continue our discussion with Father Roy Bourgeois as he describes the impact of the plan on the indigenous peoples and the connection between the U.S. and Colombian governments and the paramilitaries operating there.
We heard firsthand from the campesinos how the military and the paramilitary forces, how they worked very closely. We were in this little town, La Hormiga, where we visited with the military there, this general and all of his soldiers, and then we went off into the into the countryside and talked with the campesinos. But what we saw and what we heard is how closely the military there and the paramilitary forces work together. As they say, they're one big happy family.
Mm-hmm. How was your treatment there? I mean, I know that some people have been disappeared or outright murdered by the paramilitaries, people like yourself who go there to witness. Did you feel threatened when you were there?
Well, let me say, we were very concerned when we flew from Bogota into Putumayo and landed into this little town called Puerto Cis. And we were met there by the mayor, I must say, having a bishop with us, Bishop Tom Gummelton from Detroit, was a great asset. We had nine in our delegation. It was a delegation sponsored by the Columbia Support Network, headquartered in Madison, Wisconsin. And the Jesuits there, one of the Jesuit Catholic priests of the Jesuit order, who's on the Peace Commission, was able to arrange some very important interviews with us. In fact, we met with the top general of that province, Putumayo, General Mario Montoya, who is a SOA graduate, proudly said that he was an instructor at the School of the Americas in 1993. And he actually took us by helicopter. It was so dangerous to drive overland. We were, we got to this little town, a half hour away by helicopter, La Hormiga, in this military helicopter, and actually got a briefing by the general, which was to get, how they saw it. And then we went off. The most important part for us, the most important part of the trip, was to go outside of town and to see firsthand the effects of this spraying on the coca plants and how the crops of the campesinos have been destroyed. This is serious, very serious. They're receiving no money from the government for their crops being destroyed. And what also is at work here, those we met with the high-ranking government official who's in charge of the fumigation, he has not even been in that region to see the effects of chemicals being dropped on the crops. And we met with him when we returned to Bogota, and we had footage, actually. We had taken some video footage and shots of that damage, and he did say, this is, at first he denied this was going on. When we showed him the documentation, he said that he would send someone out there to check it out. But here's the situation. They really don't pay too much attention to the campesinos, to the poor, who make up the vast majority of Colombia. They're caught in the middle. They also stress to us, many in the government and others, they say that the problem is here in the United States. 80% of the cocaine that's supplied to the world from Colombia arrives here in the United States, going into the hands of the 5 million plus who are addicted to this drug. And many Colombians are saying that the problem is not in Colombia, but the problem is here in the United States. And it's interesting to see that this big chunk of money going into Plan Colombia, very little of it is going into rehabilitation and any kind of drug programs here. The response here seems to be, let's just build more jails for the drug abusers. and having spent some 4 years in federal prisons around the country over the years for protesting at the School of the Americas, whenever we go to prison, and 50 of us have gone to prison for protesting the school, we have always found something like 80% of those in the federal prisons that we are assigned to are there because of drug convictions.
How can people here challenge what's going on in Colombia and calling for peaceful resolutions to the situation there?
Well, it's the grassroots people around the country that will have to unite and mobilize and start marching and speaking out and protesting and going to prison through nonviolent actions that will really be needed to turn to stop Plan Colombia. Let me just end here. I have to be going now. The thing is, it was right near the U.S. Embassy, Benny. There's a lot of graffiti throughout Colombia. I remember that seeing, seeing the writing on the walls in Bolivia, in El Salvador, during the Civil War there. And there near our U.S. Embassy was, sprayed on this big wall. Plan Colombia. Un plan de muerte. A plan of death. And really that describes how most of the people of Colombia would see our plan, Colombia. It's a plan of death. They say that we are bringing their country down this road of war. We are preparing them for war through Plan Colombia. And again, it's very serious. And I would encourage, of course, the listeners to really find a group they can connect with, to come out and listen to the talks that I'll be giving. And my talks are being sponsored by a number of groups in the area who are working on this issue. And it will be very easy for anyone to be able to connect to a group that's mobilizing to stop Plan Colombia. And for more information, of course, I would recommend that the listeners look at our website, www.soaw.org. And we've got a new resource called SOA Guns and Greed, connecting this issue again to the sweatshops and to the IMF and World Bank. And that video can be ordered by simply calling 1-800-227-8523.
And that's all the time we have for this week's program. Thanks for listening on Micropower 102.9 FM, Berkeley Liberation Radio 104.1 FM, Free Radio Madison 87.9 FM, Free Radio Twin Cities, 93.1 FM, Radio Free Cascadia, 98.5 FM, KART, 91.9 FM, and on the web at www.unbrokenchain.net and www.perumpradio.com. The Weekly Freak Show is produced live in the studios of Freak Radio, 96.3 FM in Santa Cruz, California. And we can be reached at P.O. Box 7507, Santa Cruz, California, 95061. Once again, that's P.O. Box 7507, Santa Cruz, California, 95061. Or send email to frsc@microradio.net. That's frsc@microradio.net. And don't forget, you can listen to all of the excellent programming on Freak Radio on our website by pointing your browser to www.microradio.net/frsc. Again, that's www.microradio.net/frsc. Our theme music was arranged and performed by Neil Norman and his Cosmic Orchestra. For all the folks here at Freak Radio, my name's the V-Man, and that's a wrap.